This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, obviously the big story of the day now is the fact that Greg Penner and Kerry Walton Penner buy 40% stake of the Colorado Rockies. That's big. That's absolutely big. Tanner Schwentz joining me in the Aloe Fiber Studios. How are you, Tanner?
I'm better now. Walker Monfort is the savior of baseball
in
the state of Colorado.
Dick Monfort that had to make this decision?
I'm pretty sure Dick is hanging out with Chris Bryant somewhere. They're just best friends, not doing anything, sipping mojitos down on the beach. One-way ticket to Montego Bay.
Do you think this is going to lead to the Penner Group owning more than a stake in the Rockies?
No, I don't.
And Greg Penner's not going to have any... You don't think he's going to have any say in day-to-day stuff?
No, I mean, we all know it, right? The Rockies, I saw it was reported that, the Broncos kind of feel as a sleeping giant. And we know that. I mean, the fact that you can sit here and say that if the Rockies were perennial playoff contenders, that they could challenge the Denver Broncos in this state is crazy. And I think it's true. I mean, this is a sports-crazy town. In state, and I it seems like a great investment for the Penner Group.
Yeah,
I'm all in.
It does. If you can make baseball somewhat relevant here, then people went to games anyway. Imagine what happens if they're winning.
40% is not. I mean that's a big chunk that they just purchased. I see the Walton owns 10% of the Diamondbacks or something, but the Penner Group now owning 40% of the Rockies. That's huge. I mean that is 100% huge.
Wow. How about this one? You're a golf guy.
Yeah,
you're a golf guy, Tanner.
Sure am.
Did you see Robert McIntyre?
Sure did.
Flip off. What did he do? He flipped off the green?
Yeah. Yeah. Ball landed on the green and it took a bad bounce.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. This is the hoity-toity of the Masters, which...
How dare you offend our grouse?
I like a little bit of it.
I like the cell phone thing, even though I saw some former champion got in trouble for having a phone there.
Yeah, he got kicked out. And I'm fine with that. The rules are the rules. This is the one sporting event that needs to feel different than the rest of them. The Masters is the hot chick that you don't want her to want you. You just want to want her. And then when she shows you a little bit of attention once a year, you're like, and get all nervous. That's what the Masters is. And I didn't love having Jason Kelce and Kevin Hart there, even for the par 3 contest ahead of time. There is a level of hoity-toityness that we all get to enjoy for this one tournament that I enjoy.
But
Robert McIntyre is good enough. Bobby Mack is good enough to play this course. You talk about there's no defense in golf. The defense is the course. So he's mad at the defense, and he let the defense know about it.
I guess a player, if this was the NBA and you flipped off a dude, you'd get a technical.
Yeah.
But that's it. I don't think he should get...
This is an inanimate object.
He could
this
face,
is grass.
He actually
flipping
could
off
face
grass.
Disciplinary action.
Oh, my God. Are you
according
serious?
According to ESPN, yeah.
Oh, if they... Come on now.
But this is what I'm saying. I'm not one of those dudes. What are the horse races? What's the big horse race?
The Derby, the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, when they all dress up in their hats and dresses.
Yeah.
I'm not into that, man. I want to go.
I think it's fun.
In my jeans. If I'm going to go, I'm going to dress exactly like this.
I think it's fun.
I don't
think
like
it's fun.
It. I don't enjoy it.
I don't have a problem with it.
I have a problem with it. If you want to do that, great. But I don't think it should be like a thing. It's like a weird thing.
Don't go to the Masters.
Well, I won't.
Because it's just a lottery to get in. You just put in for tickets each year, and they announce it. I like a little bit of prestige behind it, and this is the most prestigious event.
I like the history around Augusta.
I love the no phones.
I kind of dig that, but
the no phones. When Rory made that putt last year. And they panned around to the gallery, and there was everybody just in the moment. And we had Justin Carlock on Good Morning NOCA on Wednesday talking about, he read an article that said that in that moment, and this is so rare and few and far between now, everybody there was exactly where they wanted to be. They didn't want to be in their phone. They didn't want to be. They were exactly where they wanted to be in that moment. And that's cool. You don't find that anywhere else. So I mean, I've flipped off the golf course before. It's grass.
But what I hate about golf is when we're out. You remember when we were, I had a bad shot. And we had these like, I don't know, these kids behind us. They were probably teenagers with their dad. And they're all in their fancy polos, you know, and they're just like death staring us because. You know, we're having beverages.
Those are the bad parts of golf.
And that's why I'm just like, what are we doing here? It's a sporting event.
Yeah.
And we're acting like it's, we're going on a sales call. We're going to a gala or a gala, as you say it.
Or a gala.
A gala, even. That part's always bugged me. That's why I like the Eaton Country Club, because you can go out in your jeans. Mm-hmm. They're cool with you golfing in your jeans. I like that stuff.
I do too, and that's why. Like, I absolutely love the Eaton Country Club. That is my preferred spot. That is about the only golf spot that I use. But it is. I like, this is just on another level. Like, you know, I love this. I also love the waste management, where everybody's just getting hammered there. Like, I think there's a time and a spot for both. It's the duality of man. Like, this is a little more formal. It's a little more rigid. Can't run. The one that does drive me crazy, you can't say back nine. The broadcasters cannot say back nine, because that insinuates about your hiney. You're not, because it insinuates the back nine being your butt. And so that one, yeah, they go a little overboard on some of this stuff.
They can kiss my back nine.
Nice.
Got him, Mike.
Got him, Mike.
Got him.
You got him.
So yeah, it can go overboard, and I don't think it's for everybody, but I think it's fun. I think that it's fun that Bob Mack did that during this tournament.
Faith says, golf makes you go through it sometimes. Just let him go through it.
Yeah,
LOL.
Correct.
Chris says, I got Robbie Mack in my lineup. A nine ain't going to get it.
Yeah, no, you're done with that. He's
but how about my
really,
guy?
Really poorly. Yeah, shut up.
I mean, when you know, you know. You know what I mean, Mike? When you know, you know. Some people have a talent, and some don't, and obviously I do.
I mean, you have the talent for running faster than Tanner.
Well, obviously.
Why did that have anything
to do with
it? I sent
him the same thing I sent you.
Oh. You want to know what he texts me?
What?
The defense is the floor in the NBA.
I don't know what that means.
Because there's no defense in the NBA aside from the floor.
Name four NBA players, Michael. Go.
Come on, Mike.
Name four NBA players.
LeBron, Jokic. Are we talking all time?
No, current. Nope.
Current.
Don't put me... pressure on
well, you're
me.
You're saying they don't play defense. I'm assuming you watched a lot of games this year, so I'm just wondering if
you
could name...
The guy with the eyebrows, the guy
count.
With the beard.
You gotta name it.
It's weird that we know exactly who he's talking
it's
about.
It's true,
that.
Yeah.
It's because, like, that's their trademark.
Thanks for explaining that
Thanks,
to
Mike.
Me, buddy.
Yep.
I'm panicking here. Bruce Brown, who
okay.
spells it weirdly.
No,
he doesn't.
That would
be the other one.
That would be the other one.
Don't say
oh,
it, though.
Okay.
I won't.
And then who? What's his first name, the guy that spells it weirdly?
I can't tell you that. Your task is to name four NBA players.
Did you just say Chris?
Nope.
I'm trying to remember. I'm panicking here.
This is my life now.
Yeah.
This is what I deal with.
I know. I know.
The Lakers are the greatest thing ever.
The Miami Heat, mute your mic. The Miami Heat will waive guard Terry Rozier today. As they open up a roster spot to sign a player for the playoffs as a result of the move. Of course, he's been away from the team since his arrest on October 23rd. Why did it take him so long to waive him?
That's when my jaw dropped when you said that. I figured he was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was placed on leave by the NBA shortly after the allegations, after his arrest. And then there is his alleged involvement in illegal sports betting dating back to his time as a Charlotte Hornet. He's pleaded non-guilty, of course, but I just kind of thought they did waive him.
Yeah, I didn't think he was allowed in the NBA.
I mean, he's not, but he's still under contract, kind of,
that's,
I guess.
What is going on with that Chauncey situation? What is going on
that
with that?
That one's been a quiet deal.
I don't like that. Yeah. Now, I don't like it because it made a bunch of noise at first.
No, and then, the Blazers made the play-in.
But when you start to not hear anything, there's stuff going on. As weird as that sounds, when you don't hear anything about something, the powers that be are working on something. It's been oddly quiet on that front, and I don't like it.
Like, what do you mean? Like, they're working to get him out of this?
Yeah, or? I don't know. I mean, I just...
It's a little too embarrassing.
I don't put corruption past anybody. And, I mean, wouldn't this be best for the NBA? Is like, hey, you know, let's just not say anything more about this, and let's just...
They really
like,
haven't talked a lot about... Adam Silver is totally like... No, who was it? The character in The Office. When it was Gabe, was it Gabe? Mm. And there's like a real, the printers are
catching on fire.
But Gabe's like focus is on something very minor, like fixing the microwave or something. I don't remember what it was. That is Adam Silver. You have gambling. You have alleged rumors around guys that are trying to fix games. You have all this other stuff going on.
Circumventing the salary cap for Kawhi Leonard.
Let me fix the problem with two teams a year, and that's tanking.
See, I disagree with you a little bit. I think tanking is a bigger problem than that. Should it be high on the priority list? No. But I think the tanking is, I mean, it's just...
It's not an epidemic. It is. No, it's not.
I mean, the NBA quality...
Three teams that
NBA
do it a year.
Is so
Three teams
bad.
That do it a year, and that's ruining all the other teams.
Last Friday, a week ago today, the average margin of victory in the NBA was 24 points across every game.
Well, this is the end of the season.
The second time ever that it had happened, it was the Sunday before that it had happened. The NBA regular season quality is crap. And so, yeah, he's got to figure that out. But when you've got gambling scandals going on, yeah, it probably shouldn't be the top of your priority list. But there's because now we're late enough in the season where all the teams who might be getting a lottery pick are trying to do it, and it's terrible. It's the last month of the NBA is terrible. Aside from four teams that are battling for seeding, like there's no reason that the end of the season right now should matter more for the Denver Nuggets in the 3 or 4 seed than almost everybody else. Like it's crazy to me that it's this bad. The NBA quality is
terrible.
Well,
like, what do you mean? Like it should mean more? You think it should mean more for the Pelicans
now? There should be more competition for those last spots in. It seems like every year in the NFL, for example, that last weekend is going to decide the fate of one or two teams getting in. You look back at the Steelers and the Ravens, right? Neither of them are going to be world beaters to get into the playoffs, but that Sunday night game was an all-timer Tyler Loop missed that field goal. That meant so much for a team that neither of those teams dominated all season long. But you knew, like, the Broncos knew that where they were at, where they were going. The higher seeds knew. So the fact that you've got a championship-contending team in the Denver Nuggets that are so close, and I get it. There's more teams in there. I get the longer season and all that stuff. But the bottom teams are like, yeah, we're good. Like, we're in. We're good now. We made the play-in tournament. We're good. We'll worry about that in a week. They just have a problem with how this is constructed because the last month of the NBA season is garbage.
Well, but last year, though, you did have a lot more meaningful games as far as teams that could get into the play-in. Remember, the Nuggets were actually one of those teams that might be a play-in team or a playoff team. In the East, you still have three. You have the Magic, the Sixers, and the Hornets who could still realistically get into the playoffs. They're still play-in teams.
Below that 10? So it's just the Western Conference.
Western Conference is set. But the Eastern Conference, you have Toronto and Atlanta have yet to clinch playoffs. So okay. There's three teams below right. that actually could get in.
That's good. That's better.
But you know, it's you're going to see half the league not care as much.
But our teams
the last 2 weeks
point
of the season
where they're calling it quicker. It's like, yeah, let's call it. We're not going to be there, so let's improve our lottery odds and let's start tanking.
Let's go through it. I don't think like Dallas. Now, obviously, we know they traded Luka, but they have Cooper Flagg. They have an up-and-coming talent. So they're going to try to play games and ways to grow him in the game.
I would argue that that's second on their priority list. I would argue that first on their priority list is improving their draft pick position to try and get somebody to go alongside Cooper Flagg.
I mean,
they're trying to walk that tightrope.
Maybe they won 25 games. I mean, I've seen the Nuggets win 12 games or 11 games, and they weren't really tanking. They were just bad.
Yeah, no, I get that. But, I mean, and that's what I would be curious about, and there's no way that we have the time, nor do you have the producer for this. But how many of those games came against teams that had, you know, were resting some of their players? Because then that gets into the overall, it's not a one thing is going to fix the NBA. There are a multitude of problems that are leading to, I mean, Brady, a 24-point average margin of victory for all games on one night is bad. I mean, it is bad.
But especially the last week of the season.
But that was
or 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago?
Even 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks.
That's a month. That's still a month to go. And maybe the answer to all of it is shortening the season.
No,
maybe
my idea is that you have a tournament right now with the teams that are out. So there would be, in the West, there would be a tournament between the Pelicans, Grizzlies, Mavericks, Kings, and Jazz. And then you would have another tournament between the Bucks, Bulls, Nets, Pacers, and Wizards. And then the winner of those two tournaments play in a championship. The winner gets the number one draft pick.
The only thing is, because I like the idea of it, like I like meaningful games for bad teams. I'm a Rockies fan, for God's sake. You got to have some sort of meaningful game. That's why I love the Rockies the last couple years in April. There's some meaningful games because we know we're not going to pay attention. But the thing with that is, that does that prevent, because you just talked about the Nuggets who won 12 games that were really, truly that bad, does that just prevent them from ever getting better? Because if you're really genuinely that bad, then you're never going to get the number one overall pick.
I don't think it's like that now. I don't think like the worst team in the NBA is what? Washington at 17 wins.
And they're sitting on Trae Young and Anthony Davis.
Yeah. I mean, is there a way that they could go win a tournament against the Pacers, the Nets, the Bulls, and the Bucks?
If Trae Young and Anthony Davis played.
Yeah.
I mean it's weird. And I don't understand the lottery. And I don't know why they do it.
The lottery's stupid. They don't need to do the lottery.
Just do it like the NFL does. If I'm every other sports league, yeah, aside from baseball, because we know the development takes a little bit longer, I'm trying to rip off exactly what the NFL does. It's the best in the world.
Adam Silver's trying to do soccer stuff.
I agree. Like, I do think tanking's a problem. I don't think it's one of the top problems. I do have an issue.
It's a problem. It's not as big a problem as Adam Silver's making it out to be.
I would agree with.
Because the NFL has this too, where there's five teams every year that are at the bottom and they have 3 weeks to go, and all you're looking for is young players to come out and show you something for the upcoming season.
And that's natural. In every sports league, you're going to have that bottom end. That's natural. So, okay, who cares, right? If this was down to two or three teams that were really truly that bad in that tank, because I think it's bigger than that. I do think that these other teams are making that call earlier to pull the plug, for lack of a better term, and kill the season and just get better odds. Like, why is it in the NFL that at the end of the season, you know, yeah, that last Sunday, maybe we see the Raiders, you know, historically we see some of these bad teams that are like, okay, yeah, that's an 11 a.m. game. We don't really care. You know, it's still there. Is it because the product is still good? Because that's another thing.
The product is still better.
You're
more likely to watch two no-name NFL teams.
Yeah.
And I say no-name loosely, but you're more likely to watch two no-name NFL teams play on a Sunday night than you are two no-name teams in the NBA play on a Sunday night.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that comes down to the product, which you've been banging that drum too. You have to improve the product on the floor. The NBA, I mean, may I ask Micah to do something? Is that okay?
He probably won't do it.
Can you see what if the ratings the last month of this NBA season are down over last year's? Because I don't know who's watching this.
The Nuggets Spurs game was probably
huge,
highly rated. I would imagine. Well, it was also on Amazon Prime, though.
The Stars Avs game in the NHL was huge on that Saturday too. So I know that there's still you're going to have some of this. Well, some of this just comes naturally.
Here's one of the fixes I think that you should employ. If you had a top three pick this year, you're automatically disqualified from getting a top three pick the following year. Because you've already had your pick.
Yeah.
Then you go basically, okay, well, if it's Washington again, well, they would just move down four spots. They're guaranteed the fourth pick. I think that's way to do it. Because then you prevent multiple years of tanking.
Yeah.
There's
back nothing
to back
that screams that's a bad idea to me instantly.
It's
a rarity for you, but well done.
No, that plus or the tournament. And then the argument against the tournament is, well, how are you going to get the players to play? That's not my problem.
It's in their contract.
That's on you to say, hey, guys, you're under contract. If we get another piece to this team, We're going to be legit. We need to go win this tournament.
And there's so many like philosophical tie-ins and deeper conversations that you could look at, like a case study with the NBA, like when it comes to world leaders and stuff like that, because the NBA is the most player-driven league there is. The fact that you have to say, how are you going to get the players to play in this? What? There's your issue. There lies your issue. The players have too much control in the NBA. Like that's a crazy statement, because if there was let's say the Broncos were terrible. They were just a terrible season, and there was a tournament at the end, and there was a really good name the position player. Like maybe in this fantasy world we're living in, Bo Nix doesn't exist. And they can go play in a tournament, and they can go get Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Every effing player on that team is going to play because it's going to improve.
I disagree.
It's going to improve their team.
Why
was
Dre Greenlaw bitching about practice?
Well, okay, that's one guy.
I think there's plenty of guys in the NFL that are.
But they're there. Why did
Anthony, the Colts quarterback, Anthony Richardson, why did he pull himself out of the game?
The same reason he doesn't have a starting job
right
now.
So
right?
There are
like,
players.
There are consequences to that in the NFL. There's not in the NBA.
There are players, though, that will say, I'm not playing in that game. I don't even want to practice 6 days a week. Why would I want to play an extra game just so my team can go draft and pay a quarterback, you know, $50 million in 4 years when I'm not getting anything?
Win.
Yeah, there are some with that mindset.
And I think
mindset.
The majority in the NFL still have that, and I think the majority in the NBA are like, I just want my money. That's my feeling on it.
I mean, it's a player-driven, it's a sport like that, I guess. Basketball is just a sport that is going to be...
That's why it struggles, because those guys get entitled, and they want every call, and they flop, and they take advantage of the rules.
This is why I said you need to be focusing on the in-game product first.
But the in-game product is stemming from the fact that it is such a player-driven
game. I think it starts with the in-game product.
The in-game product is what it is, because we had big personalities. It was still a player-driven league, right? When like Michael was there and those big names, even Kobe. And there was a little bit of bitching about the refs, and there was a little bit of preferential treatment. But now you have everybody doing it.
Because you see it on – we have more access to all these games now, and you're seeing it the youth development too.
Yeah,
this is why I say
– not good for the outlook.
You give one warning. If you complain to the refs in an egregious way, you get one warning. And if you do it again, you get a technical foul.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's you just there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
And yeah,
but that's taking a little bit of power away from the players.
But you're also giving the refs a lot more power,
which I'm fine with. Well, don't bring up Tim Donaghy.
It depends on the day with the refs because they can get offended very easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you find what I asked for?
I did, but I don't understand all the numbers because it's throwing a bunch of stuff
out
there.
He got above 10.
But according to the graph, it's kind of just sort of goes up and down, so I'm guessing that has to do with matchups. And
there
I don't think it covers
ratings
all
for this
the
season,
channel.
According to Michael
according
Kirkpatrick.
To NBA TV
are kind of up and down.
He's just defined what a graph
know.
Is.
Yeah, it's a graph. There's a graph, and it's
is
up.
Is it trending downwards or upwards, Mike?
It just goes up and down. Overall, okay. Let me check the
It's fine.
The all.
We've moved on from
NBA viewership in the 25-26 season has seen a significant surge with ratings up double digits entering the All-Star break,
okay.
Marking the highest viewership at that point since 2018. National broadcasts on NBC, ESPN, ABC, and Prime Video have thrived, with games averaging 1.80 million viewers. Up 16% from previous season.
The NBC edition, I think, is going to be huge. NBC is looking at this and saying, hey, sports fans want sports. ESPN's not providing it for them anymore. Let's just provide sports. And I love that NBC is doing that.
I guess I don't need 477 commentators talking, though.
I don't mind them.
We need all of those commentators.
Yeah.
Like this is why I love just my four guys. I liked Ernie, I liked Kenny, I liked Shaq, and I liked Charles.
See,
I just need those four dudes talking a little basketball.
ESPN ruined them, too.
Yeah,
they're,
true,
they're
but
never
that's
on.
That's your best chance. When I have 700 guys, and I got a player that played for this team, and a player there, oh, there's a reporter. Here's McNutt, and here's Stephen A. Oh, we've got them on the panel. And then, we're going to, even the NFL does this, where we got a panel of seven guys, and then we got 13 dudes on the sidelines. I don't need all of it.
That, see, and that's what, like, when I'm talking about the NBC one, and maybe they changed it. It was, she hosts Sunday Night Football, too. I can't think of her name. It was her, it was Carmelo, Tracy McGrady, and one other guy. And they were doing the pregame and halftime. Then they had Tirico and two color analysts in there. And that was it. That was the team. And I'm like, that's fine. The Amazon Prime one, we were talking about with Blake Griffin, Dirk Nowitzki, Udonis Haslam, and one other person on there. I'm fine with that. ESPN way overdoes it with everything. But I do think, like, NBC getting Sunday Night Baseball. NBC is going to be doing Sunday Night Baseball. I love it. I think NBC is looking at ESPN and saying, what are you doing? Provide sports fans sports. And that's what they're doing, and I think they're going to thrive with it.
30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break here. Tanner Schwint hanging out with us this afternoon here on The Whole Show. Michael, we'll take a short one here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
From worst to...
The Athletics get the win in 11.
Just how will this season go for the Colorado Rockies? Hear games right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So Eastside Chris wants to know how Tanner feels about the salary cap in baseball now.
I feel the same way. I still do feel the same way.
We're going to spend some money.
It'd be so easy for me to be like, no, I still feel the same way.
Spend money.
Competitive balance, because the Rockies aren't the only organization out there that have struggled with this. You have to try and get
now
some sort of...
Now you're a billionaire.
I don't care. I told myself that if this ever did happen, I would have the same way. And I still feel the same way.
Oh, I'm fine.
They need a salary cap.
Baseball. The Rockies have been
baseball.
Kicked to the curb for so long
baseball
now.
Needs a salary cap.
Greg Penner is the savior of
no,
Rockies.
No, okay, don't you? I know
Greg
what
Penner
you're doing here.
Saved,
I know what you're doing. This is not
saved
true.
The Rockies.
It's not true
Dick
at all.
Monfort kind of saved the
it's
Rockies.
It's Walker Monfort. Walker Monfort is the
Walker's
savior of baseball.
On that one.
Walker Monfort is the savior of baseball in the state of Colorado. 1,000%. He finally grabbed a hold of the reins and said, Dad, I've learned from you of what not to do.
We don't know that for sure. We don't know who was in charge of signing over 40% of the Rockies to Greg Penner.
No, we don't.
Sounds like
it
it's Dick
I,
at
it,
this point.
That has nothing. I don't care.
That's what's going to save the Rockies.
No. No.
Like, as good as we feel about the Rockies right now, it's fun, but do you really think that this is a playoff team in a year or two?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if they're finding the formula. I think right now it's more about the formula than it is
the
actual
formula,
players.
It just seems cool and everything, but does it seem like it's sustainable in 2 months from now?
Yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't.
You just throw in 14 pitchers out every single game.
Yeah, I mean, you have 14 pitchers that you need to get three outs. Or if you've got it, then they're going longer. Like, it is not a, they're not following the traditional, this is how baseball
is. It's weird,
is.
Like, Hurgit started, pitched one inning.
Yeah.
And then Chase Dolander came in. So
it was good.
So they didn't have a starting pitcher in that game.
No.
They don't have a closer. They don't have an ace.
Let's get
I
weird.
Like it. I do. I think we talked about that 2 weeks ago. I think it's fascinating. I am just curious to see if it's sustainable.
I think
because is anybody else in baseball doing this?
The Tampa Bay Rays kind of were the starters of the bullpen days where there was no starting, and the Tampa Bay Rays were a legitimate baseball team for a lot 5-6 years in a row where they were making deep runs, and they never raised their salary cap. Like that's the that was my issue with everyone saying Dick Monfort's a cheap owner. Look, Dick Monfort maybe bad owner, maybe didn't put the right pieces in place. I don't even know if you say maybe, but. The Tampa Bay Rays, never had anywhere close to the salary that the Colorado Rockies had. And they consistently won. So what did the Rockies do? What did Walker Montford implement? He stepped back and said, let's get weird. Let's do what the Rays did. Let's steal some of the stuff. Let's do it differently. Walker Montford is the savior of baseball.
Or is it Paul DePodesta?
In the state of Colorado. Well, there's no Paul DePodesta without Walker Montford. So Walker Montford is,
or is it Greg Penner?
No, it's not Greg Penner.
I think it's Greg Penner.
It's
Mike.
Not.
It's got to be Greg Penner.
He doesn't have anything to do with day to day.
He's gonna.
So if you're gonna say that, you should say Greg Penner's checkbook.
He's gonna pay off all their debts so that then they have more money to pay players, and they're gonna bring in maybe one or two bigger names.
I don't foresee that happening because I think there's baseball. I don't think there's a starting pitcher out there that wants to still pitch in Colorado.
Well, yeah, that would be different. But what about a big time slugger?
Maybe. But again, I don't think that helps. And yes, I still think the MLB needs a salary cap. Competitive balance in any
professional. Watch them put one in now that Penner's involved.
I would be fine with that. I'd be happy with that.
All this stuff is going to suck, though, Tanner, because all this excitement around the Rockies, the Penner's getting involved, and then we're going to have a lockout.
I know. That's where I was at before the season. Let me enjoy my 6-7 Colorado Rockies. Let me enjoy them. I know. Very well done, Micah.
You entertain Micah.
Very well done, Micah. Let me enjoy it because I know what's looming, and it's going to be bad. It's going to be a long lockout.
How long do you think? A couple years.
Yeah. If they
baseball survive that, because I'll tell you this: like the NHL had two lockouts in 10 years, and I think it's reasonable, and you can even admit this: the NHL is still number four.
Oh yeah,
amongst the four professional teams, sports, but there are other sports maybe creeping in, getting a lot more talk right now. I mean, you're a UFC guy. It's pretty popular.
Yeah.
It's growing in popularity. Golf seems like it's growing in popularity.
It is.
And so I think the NHL's fine right now, but those lockouts made you take a lot of steps back.
Well, I think the biggest thing here is that I honestly think that people are going to, on the public, are going to side with the owners, which is crazy because we're talking about, you know, the common folk siding with, you know, million and billionaires. But the problem is like the Bryce Harpers from last year when Rob Manfred stepped in there. He's like, we're not doing an F in this and that. It's like, dude. The worst contracts in all of sports come from baseball because they get 10 years, 700 and whatever million dollars, and then they're good for four of them.
Yeah, I just saw the, what is the new league average?
5.38 million.
Wow.
Set a salary cap. That's going to help everybody. It's going to be able for these small market teams to actually compete. Because as good as the Rockies are, as good as anybody you want to say out there is, they're not the Dodgers. The Dodgers, as currently constructed, should and probably will win 90% of the World Series the next 10 years. 9 out of the next 10 years, you should. And I don't know why I don't, but I should go put $100 on the Dodgers to win the World Series every year. There you go. I'm your financial planner now. Because that's just how loaded this team is.
I don't disagree.
You need a salary cap.
Well, I think the hardest part is creating one now. Because you have so many guys that are under 10-year contracts. Yeah. And it would be a complicated task.
It is, but this is also why so many higher ups in the Major League Baseball offices get paid a whole boatload of money is to figure crap like this out, and they have to do it.
Well, hey, at least for one season, we could watch the Rockies kind of, you know, go on the rise here, and then we go dark.
Hopefully, it's a season. Hopefully, it's a full season.
Based on what I'm seeing, I'm not just thinking about our dirty 30 anymore. I don't see why the Rockies can't be maybe close to a 500 team.
That's flirting playoffs.
Yeah.
If they're 500, that would have got them in last year.
Okay. In their losses, they got the sweep to Miami. They were all within one run.
One run loss.
They lost the one game in Toronto 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever. They got smoked on opening day. Outside of that, this team has been winning or competitive in every single game.
Yeah, and that was my biggest thing last night. Brian, my co-host texted me and said, what do you think about the Rockies? I'm like, I wouldn't wager on them. They are always bad that first game away from Coors. When you get them away from altitude and back to sea level, they're always bad. And they weren't good offensively last night. I mean, 14 strikeouts. But the difference is, is the weird pitching scheme that, I mean.
Yeah. Well, and I do, Leishman, the pitching coach, man, he's working.
Yeah, I don't.
Lon Leishman, is that how you say?
Whatever, whatever they've got going on, because every single pitcher that they've got is up like 3 miles an hour in their speed. It's breaking more. Like, that's the thing. If you're going to win consistently as the Rockies, when you go on the road, those bats are going to get quiet for a minute after leaving the altitude. Can your pitching staff keep you in? They did last night.
Yep. They kept you in until something got strange enough to get into extra innings. And the Rockies were maybe a Freeman runner interference call away if they could have got an insurance run, because I still think it changes the way you play it.
Is Goodman all right? I saw he got hit with a pitch.
It doesn't
okay?
sound serious. No, Hunter, he had a laceration on his finger.
Oh, I thought he got hit again.
He stayed. I think it was from the hit.
Oh, okay.
But the ball got him on, just ripped through the skin. He went to first base. He put the mitten on, which I think the mittens are hilarious. But it was just oozing blood, so he had to leave.
So, but we don't think he's going to miss any time.
I think he could miss some time. It just from what I read in the Denver Post this morning is he's going to, he won't miss significant time.
Okay, that's good at least, right? That's good.
Yeah. Well, Doyle got rolling last night. Started to get hit a home run and a couple of hits. So
Edward King Julian.
Julian.
I don't know. I think it's Julian. In my Julian world, it will always be Julian. Mm-hmm. Freaking Julian. And he's every time in that leadoff spot. Started the series off with a knock.
What are our nicknames for all the players here? We'll do that coming back. That'll be fun.
They're
for
winning
us
tonight.
Oh, absolutely, they're winning tonight.
All
of them are winning. The Nuggets are winning.
Yeah.
The Rockies
never
are winning.
Lose.
They're never going to lose. DU's going to win the NCAA championship tomorrow?
Yeah.
They won a double overtime last night?
Jordan Hicks? Is that the goalie's name? No, Jordan Hicks.
No.
Who's
Jordan Hicks? Was that a
Rockies player?
I don't know. It's somebody. 42 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening at 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor here in Greeley. They'll make sure that air conditioner is ready for the battle ahead this summer, because it was a very warm winter. Lord only knows what it's going to be like this summer, and you don't want to go inside after being out all day. And it's just uncomfortable, and it's muggy, it's swampy. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com.
I about got on the Diana Rossini thing here. Look, this guy has a great account. Said, quote, Diana Rossini has issued a statement. This is not true. I about got God, but it's funny. Can I share it?
Yeah.
I did something this past weekend that I'm deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a woman of faith, as there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, and that'll be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be broadcasting again.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I about got there.
That's one of the best. I mean, I know it was a very bad thing that he said, but the humor that came after that broadcast, or during that broadcast, was
so good.
Was gold.
My favorite clip of all time.
Man, you really got to trust your producer to not leave your microphone on.
Yeah,
when you're doing a game in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, Brian being a co-host, he just shuts all the microphones off. He doesn't just trust a little mute button back there. So I feel relatively, not that I'm saying anything that would get me canceled, but
oh yeah,
just FCC
sure,
fines.
You never would say anything.
No,
we're all appropriate around here.
I think so. We're pretty appropriate. Mm-hmm. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. Wrap up hour number two coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. The whole show pressure cooker, playoff edition. Who's feeling the most pressure between the entire roster and coaching staff of the Avalanche and the entire roster and coaching staff of the Nuggets? Let's get into it. Coming up next.
Listen to Coach Speak, weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All All right, it's a big whole show pressure cooker coming up because it's the week before the craziness starts. I know the Avalanche have, what, three or four games remaining. Yep. The Nuggets will finish up their regular season on Sunday, and then we start the play-in tournament there. So I'm asking the question, like, who is by themselves under the most pressure going into the playoffs? That will be the focus of the whole show pressure cooker coming up here in just a moment. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.